The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Chunky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We are streaming live on the free Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network. Brought to you by our friends at Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team today. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Johnny Cake Sawville and Eric Bickle this morning. Bish Bucks returns December 2nd after a nice elongated vacation. He maximizes the Thanksgiving days off. As EB says, most calculated person he knows.
Mm-hmm.
So some people were asking where Jason was. He'll be back December 2nd.
Good for him.
Joining us right now, as he does every Friday at this time, best-selling author, Washington Post columnist, John Feinstein. He's brought to you by Galtham, where you can now custom fit. They can custom fit you for new GT metals from Titleist. They've got new Apex irons from Callaway. You can visit them in Tysons, Rockville, or Annapolis to get your game ready for fall golf. Galtham by Worldwide Golf. Get there. Hey, John.
Morning, fellas. How's everybody doing?
So, John,
doing
you know, you got the new book about the Ivy League, the Ancient Eight. People can go to bookstores and get it. I'm just wondering, in your career, did you ever cover high school sports?
I did, as a matter of fact. When my internship ended at the Post, I was offered a job at the Winston-Salem Journal. George Solomon, and who was the sports editor, Len Downey, who was the Metro editor, told me I should stick around because there might be an opening in Metro. But for about 6 weeks, I was sort of in limbo, and I covered high school football during that period.
So we were just, I don't know how much you follow this, we were just talking about this Hayfield High School controversy, which is big here in Northern Virginia, where the coach from Freedom High School moved over to Hayfield. All these players transferred to Hayfield. They're smashing people. You know, what was the score again last 75-7 in the playoffs.
A good team.
Everybody's up in arms. I was just curious if you had a take on that.
Well, you know, the transfer rules at all levels have changed sports at all levels. And the fact is, I'm guessing here, that Freedom hasn't broken any rules, that the kids were allowed to transfer. If they're good, probably they all have agents at this point, because the fabulous Condoleezza Rice Commission recommended several years ago that agents be allowed to have open contact with high school and college athletes. So I don't look at it so much, which I think is terrible. It's, you know, letting the fox into the hen house. I don't look at it so much as this individual issue. Or individual case, although I'm sure next week's opponent for Freedom does.
It's Hayfield. He's at Hayfield now.
Hayfield. I'm sorry. I apologize. As so much the trend in sports, high school, college, you know, You have kids on the cover of Sports Illustrated who are 12 years old because they're the best seventh grader in the country, according to SI. So this isn't brand new. I'm sure this is not a unique situation. There was a story this week about a D1 team. I don't even know who it was, but they played a Bible college and won by 100.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that game being played? You know, who came up with that idea? Mm-hmm. And we see it all the time when FBS schools pay FCS schools a lot of money. Howard players have gotten the hell beaten out of them playing FBS schools for years now in football. It's different in basketball because you don't get beaten up so much, but it does go on in basketball. And one of the reasons I wanted to do the Ivy League book was because the kids are all on the same level.
Mm-hmm.
They play the same seven league teams every year. The Saturday before Thanksgiving, which is tomorrow, they all play their last game. Yale plays Harvard tomorrow in the game, and Harvard has a chance to win the league outright if they win that game. Dartmouth and Columbia are tied for second. Dartmouth is an amazing story that came about during the book because of the death of Buddy Tevens, their longtime coach. But I like the Ivy League sort of a throwback. There are very few transfers. When Princeton's quarterback last year was a transfer, he was the first transfer they'd had in football since 1988 when Jason Garrett transferred from Columbia to Princeton. There are no NILs. The kids play for not even for a scholarship because technically their scholarships are financial aid scholarships. So it's unique in today's world. The Ancient Eight will still be the Ancient Eight in 20, 30, 40 years. They won't be realign and have 10 teams or 12 or 7 or whatever. And I liked kind of that old-fashioned atmosphere that I encountered when I did the book. And the kids were terrific. Big surprise, smart Ivy League kids. I interviewed 82 of them, and I swear to God, guys, all 82 interviews were good interviews because of the kids, not because of me.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, John, let's shift over to the biggest story right now in D.C., and that's the Washington Capitals, what happened to Alex Ovechkin out in Utah a few days ago. I'm assuming you were surprised as everybody to see Ovi down on the ice, struggling to get to the dressing room. He came back and tried to test it and then left for the rest of the game. He'll be gone for 4 to 6 weeks with a broken fibula. How can the Caps kind of manage their way through this until Ovi gets back?
Well, that's what they have to do. I mean, one of the greatest things about Ovechkin has been his ability to stay healthy throughout his career. He's been around forever. And what I think before this injury, he'd missed a total of 34 games or something like that.
Yeah.
And so it's a shock to the system to see him down and to realize he's not going to be back for 4 to 6 weeks. Now, the good news, quote unquote, is that it's early enough in the season that he should have plenty of time to come back. And I wish people would stop talking about the damn record. Just talk about him as a great player. He's going to get the record, Gretzky's goal-scoring record. He's not going to be Gretzky. Nobody is. But talk about the fact that this team had the best record in hockey before he went down. And really all they need to do over this time that he's gone is just be decent, hang in there. If you, when he comes back, if they're fourth or fifth in the Eastern Conference or sixth, whatever, that's fine. As long as they're still in position to right themselves once he's back and make the playoffs, and if you get a first-round home ice advantage, that's all great. But I hate hearing every time he scores a goal that he's now X number behind Gretzky. Just talk about the fact that he's 38 years old and he was off to the best start of his life. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And appreciate him as a great player, not just for the record. I understand the last couple of years there was a lot of focus in the local media on the record because he wasn't that good. The team wasn't that good. But the team's good this year. So people should focus when he comes back on how good this team could possibly be. I honestly think if he comes back 100%, they could challenge for the Stanley Cup. I'm not saying they win it, but they could have a chance. They're a damn good team with a damn good coach.
Hey, John, let's go easy on attacking the goal tracker. That's a sponsored segment here on 106.7 The Fan. We're not trying to kill the golden goose.
I once said something about U.S. Air on a Navy broadcast, and U.S. Air was a sponsor.
Oh,
this is not my worst.
Did that sink that sponsorship, assuming?
Did you take out the airlines? Does U.S. Air exist?
They didn't withdraw their sponsorship, amazingly. I was asked to apologize. I refused to apologize because that's me, because what I said was true about how bad it was to fly on U.S. Air. This is 20 years ago, by the way.
Yeah, of course.
So I have no idea, because you guys know I don't fly anymore, what U.S. Air is like today. But the Navy people were pissed at me, and justifiably. I should have kept my mouth shut.
Does U.S. Air exist now?
No, I'm not sure.
I don't think so.
It's been gone. It's been gone forever.
You guys know I don't fly anymore.
Yeah, no, that's done.
All right, John, what is your take? It's a big game. I guess it doesn't feel like sort of the old, Cowboys skins matchup of years past.
Oh, my God.
Because, the Cowboys aren't up to snuff, but it's still a division rival. They still have Micah Parsons. They still have C.D. Lamb. You saw what happened last night with the Browns upsetting the Steelers.
Yep.
Jaden, kind of coming off a little two-game swoon where he hasn't been particularly, sharp. How do you expect this one to go? They're big favorites.
I think the Commanders will kill them. I think the Cowboys are about as dead as any team in football. I was shocked last night by the Browns beating the Steelers. Of course, it was in the snow. But you watch the Cowboys, and which, they're always in featured games, so you don't have much choice. And it's, usually 21-0 by the end of the first quarter. The only advantage the Cowboys have this week is they're not playing at home because they're so horrible at home.
Yeah.
The Commanders need a win. They've lost two in a row. They won't overlook the Cowboys. They'll come in ready to play. And I think they'll just kick their butts all over the stadium.
That would be freaking
perfect.
And
you guys know it. I'm not like a Commanders fan or anything, so I'm not saying that through any bias. I'm just saying that through watching the Cowboys.
Right. Do you think style points mean anything? So you're thinking they're going to win convincingly. What if they win a low-scoring game, which will surprise people, win by a point? Is that troublesome?
I'm a Dean Smith guy. And Dean used to always say, if we win by 1 point, I'm happy. There are no style points, especially in the NFL. It's not like it's college ball where maybe you're trying to get the attention of the committee for seeding or to get into the tournament. If they're 8-4, they're 8-4. If they're 7-5, that's a problem. But if they're 8-4, no matter how they get to 8-4, I mean, do you feel badly about the way they beat the Bears?
No, not at all. I feel good.
It was a miracle win.
Feel great.
It was a win.
If they get to 8-4, John, it'll be the first time they've been 8-4 in 28 years.
It's sort of coincidentally dates back to when Snyder took over the team.
Yeah, that's correct.
I'm sure that's pure coincidence. Yeah. Dan never did anything wrong. Just ask him.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing, though. It's just amazing.
It's a hell of a turnaround. In a sense, they got lucky that they were so bad at the end of last season. They should thank Ron Rivera because that got them up to the number two pick in the draft.
Right.
And they ended up with a guy who I think is going to be a star in this league for 10 to 15 years. I really do.
I happen to agree. To a different extent and maybe for different reasons, but is Woody Johnson kind of the Dan Snyder? You're a Jets guy, right? Is he what's holding the Jets back?
Oh, I think he's been a terrible owner.
Yeah.
He's been a terrible owner. The fact that he apparently was trying to suggest benching Aaron Rodgers earlier in the season, that's Dan Snyder type thing. I'm going to tell you what to do because I know a lot about football. And Woody Johnson doesn't know anything about football. And it's been reflected in his hires and in the way the team has been run. And in the total disaster that the Jets have become, that's what Snyder did. He turned the one of the best franchises in football into a complete and utter disaster and embarrassment.
Mm-hmm. Just a fact check.
One of the things I feel good about, because obviously I have a lot of friends who are fans of the Commanders, is how much they're enjoying the success the team's having.
Mm-hmm. Just a fact check. Snyder never had a team that started off 8-4 because he took over in 99. EB's going dating back to 96.
I was saying it dates back to the end of 8-4s dates back to when he took over the team.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's when we started doing weekend radio. Imagine the odds. We start doing a weekend radio show on WJFK on the new sports weekend. They just got the rights to the Washington Redskins at the time. And then just an utter lack of success during our entire career.
A team that went to four Super Bowls in the 15 previous years.
Maybe we're a jinx. Yeah. I don't know.
Maybe it's you guys.
It could be.
But the thing that about Snyder was he was consistent. He always did everything wrong.
Right. Well, what is it about, like, Woody Johnson, my just assumption of him, and this is probably terrible, I know nothing about him, is that he just sort of inherited this wealth, has very little accomplishments in life.
He's born on third base.
I mean, God bless him.
Exactly.
Right.
That's exactly right. He's born on third base, thought he tripled.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are a lot of owners in sports like that. Let's make that point. He's not the only one by any means. Snyder, you got to admit, made his own money. Although I still don't. Nobody I know knows how it happened.
Right. I'm not sure it was ethically.
His own money.
I mean, you can be a bad owner and make your own money. Just look at David Tepper in Carolina. Like, there's, you know.
But it's Woody Johnson. Here's the thing. I think most people thought at the end of the day that Dan kind of really came off as a bad guy in a lot of different ways. Yeah. Right. All the allegations. All
definitely.
The stuff. Does Woody Johnson have like bad guy mojo around him too?
Not like that, but yes. Yeah. He's kind of known as a guy who, again, thinks because he was born on third base and he tripled that he's better than people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was the thing with Dan. Dan wasn't born on third base, but he thought he was better than people because he was rich.
Right. So Woody Johnson,
that's why he always wanted people to call him Mr. Snyder.
Like, he's an elitist. You think Woody Johnson's an elitist?
Absolutely an elitist.
Okay.
Yes. And I'm hoping, as a Jets fan, that Trump makes him an ambassador again somewhere.
Ship him out somewhere.
Yeah, and say, by the way, Woody, we want you to sell the team while you're being an ambassador.
I would never call Dan Snyder Mr. unless he were to pay me $5 million each per year for us to do this radio show. Then I would call him Mr. Snyder.
Call him whatever he wants.
Yeah.
Call him daddy.
I have my price, John.
Well, every man has his price, I guess.
Yeah.
And I certainly have mine. You know, it's like when David Faraday went to LIV while I was writing the book on him. And I said to him, so I have to rewrite the last two chapters of this book so you can make an extra million or two.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, it's more than a million or two.
Right.
Yeah.
It was a lot more than a million or two. And finally I said to him, could you just give me $1 million?
You're right.
He said, no.
John, this is not like personally, but like sort of professionally, what's the most shameful thing that you've done for money? Do you have anything?
I've been pretty good about that, I think. There's nothing I've actually done that I'm embarrassed by. I did a book on Rocco Mediate because I thought he was a good guy and turned out I was wrong.
Is he a bad guy?
He was a bad guy.
What's his deal?
He was a guy who would he committed to playing in my charity golf tournament 3 straight years. And every year he canceled out at the last minute, didn't call me himself, had his agent call me. And while I was doing the book, I heard a lot of stories about the way Rocco treated people at times. Not all the time, but at times. I mean, he was good to me most of the time. But I, when people say, is there any book you've done that you regret, that's the one.
Mm. Interesting.
And it sold well, by the way. It was a bestseller.
Because Rocco's so popular publicly. Like, I follow him on Instagram. He's a fun follow.
He has
you know,
a great
all that.
Personality in public.
Yeah.
I was fooled by that. Because he came to me after he lost the U.S. Open playoff to Tiger Woods, which is one of the most dramatic golf events we've seen in years. And he said, excuse me, that people were asking him about doing a book and he wanted to do it with me. Well, I liked Rocco. We were friends. We got along. And so I said, yes.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket, and if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
But my one condition was you don't try to edit the book. And he was dating a woman at the time. He left his wife and kids. He was dating a woman, and she tried to edit the book.
Yeah.
And it didn't work out terribly well. I didn't like the book.
Gotcha. All right, John, your latest book is The Ancient Eight. People can get it at bookstores and everywhere the books are sold, right?
I love that segue. Yes, The Ancient Eight. And also, I'll just throw this in, The Wall Street Journal did a review on my book on Duke's Dynasty, Five Banners, which came out a month ago, and it was a rave. I did not expect that from The Wall Street Journal, to be honest.
Very good. That's
very
excellent.
Cool.
Yeah, doing well.
All right, John, appreciate it. Talk
hey
to you next
guys,
week.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Yep, you too, man.
Happy
have a great one.
Yep.
Thanks, John.
John
Feinstein, brought to you by Golfdom, where they can custom fit you for any clubs, including the new GT Metals from Titleist and the new Apex Irons from Callaway. Visit them in Tysons, Rockville, or Annapolis to get your game ready for fall golf. Golfdom by Worldwide Golf. Get there. Coming up next, we'll open up EB's entertainment page here on the Junkies.